The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Everyone, and welcome to IMC. So a little poignant introduction to what I'd like to talk about today is the statement that we participate in our world in whatever way we do, and then through Buddhist practice, we go into our bodies. And then we come out and participate in the world in a different way. And there's a tremendous value in traditional Buddhism and really mindfulness of the body, going into the body, going inward in a certain way, not as a rejection of the world, but to come out in a different way, be turned inside out perhaps, and participate in the world, hopefully in a wiser, freer kind of way. So to follow up on that little introduction, I'd like to do a little exercise with all of you that begins with an exercise that I do often enough when I teach introduction to Buddhist meditation, to give people a sense of how to do mindfulness of the body. And so I'll guide you in that little introduction, and then I'll use it for a different purpose for what I'm trying to talk about today. So you don't have to change your posture, but you can just close your eyes, if you'd like. And maybe taking a few gentle, larger breaths. And as you exhale, to relax into your body. Letting your breathing return to normal. And just in a very general, relaxed, open way, check in with your body. See how your body is. And just so you can maybe a little bit more easily settle into it or relax into your body. And then bring your attention to one of your hands. And hold your awareness there in your hand and become aware of the sensations that are there. The sensations in the palm of the hand, the back of the hand, the fingers, perhaps there's some pulsing or tingling in the hands, perhaps you feel coolness and warmness in your hand. Perhaps the weight of the hand, the lightness of the hand. The contact of the hand against some other part of your body. Pressure, weight, touch. Perhaps there's pleasant sensations or aching sensations in your hand. So whatever sensations you feel there, see if you can also notice their particularity, how they're just sensations in a particular place in your body. Maybe they appear and disappear or dance around in your hand, vibrate. And with your eyes closed, perhaps there's not even any really clear boundaries between inside and outside your hand. But there are the sensations that are vibrating, appearing there in your hand. And those sensations perhaps exist there independent of whatever preferences you have, or whatever you think about your hand or about those sensations. Those sensations just exist in the hand for themselves, in themselves. In a sense, the particular sensations in and of themselves have nothing to do with yesterday or the past or the future, tomorrow. They're just here now. Your experiencing of them is now. When this exercise is over, you might not pay attention to your hand this way for quite a while. In a certain way, they exist without a past and a future. They're just here. Some of those sensations in your hand don't quite qualify as being you. You didn't make them happen. You didn't construct them, intend them. Just as because of causes and conditions of the moment, they appear. And the sensations in and of themselves are independent of your mind, of what you think and what you want, what you don't want. In a certain way, the sensations are free of your desires and your aversions, your preferences and the thoughts that you have about the hand or about the exercise. The sensations appear in a certain way as free. They're just freely in your hand. From the point of view of the hand, the sensations are freely there. And whatever sensations you feel in your hand are there because of your aliveness, the energy or the vitality of being alive. You can sense the sensations. If you now open your awareness up to the rest of your body and feel the sensations that appear in your body, maybe you can feel them also as just sensations of the moment that exist in and of themselves. For they themselves are independent of your preferences. The sensations that live independent of your identity. They're just there, sensations of the body. In a certain way, the sensations are free. Free of the desires and aversions you might have. They're just there. Yeah. And they are there because of your aliveness, your vitality. The aliveness of the body's making sensations. And the aliveness of your awareness. And then you can open your awareness up to whatever mood or emotional state that you have, how you're feeling. And there's a way of feeling that in your body, recognizing it, is no different than the sensations of your hand. It can just be there, an emotion, mood of the moment. It itself can exist without a past and a future. The mood can exist in a certain way without our preferences. It's just there, felt and experienced. And in and of itself, maybe the mood or the emotion that you have is free, is there freely, unless you get entangled with it or start thinking about it. And the emotions that you have, your feelings that you have, are there because of your aliveness, the vitality of your body being alive right now, and the vitality and aliveness of awareness that knows it. And then maybe you can expand your awareness to include the mental activity of thinking and wanting and not wanting, and whatever mental activity is going on. There's a way of experiencing that is similar to experiencing the sensations of the body. Allowing each thought to appear and disappear. It's through memory and projection we connect it to past and the future. In and of themselves, thoughts are just an experience of the moment. In and of themselves, they too can be free of our preferences and desires that might be there. And your thoughts are also an expression of your aliveness. And all these things, your sensations of your body that you are experiencing, the mood and how you feel right now and how you experience it, your mind and mental activities and how you're experiencing it, all the buzzing, the active aspect of this inner life, will not be found in this body the day you die. Every way in which you know yourself, every way that you experience yourself, is a knowing and an experience that can only occur in a living body. Every way you know yourself and experience yourself in the present moment is a manifestation of aliveness. An aliveness that can only exist in the present moment, can only be experienced now. an aliveness that has no past and future. An aliveness that can be free. Of what you're thinking, what you're wanting and not wanting. And perhaps it's possible to experience your aliveness through all these things that you know, without being caught up in the content, without being concerned so much about what you're experiencing, but just the fact that you're experiencing. It's all a particular manifestation of your aliveness right now. And then what do you think it would be like to look at the world through your eyes with a clear sense of the unique aliveness of this moment, an aliveness that's here now. So I offer some apologies that took you along on a journey that you didn't sign up for. So hopefully it was okay. And I spent a good part of yesterday reflecting in this kind of way that I offered you today. So that's kind of wanted to share with you. And the reason for that, or the condition for that, is that Friday I spent time at an anatomy lab at a local community college with three cadavers. And it's quite something to contemplate death, contemplate life and death in a room with cadavers. And it's a long Buddhist tradition of contemplating death, and in Thailand, practitioners will often go to morgues or anatomy labs or different places in order to directly have contact with death. And you know, many people have had experience of being with someone who's died, but usually it's someone they know. But to be with someone that you don't know in an anatomy lab, and bodies are been you know, surgically opened up, and you can kind of look in deep into the body and see the different parts of the body, and it kind of thought-provoking is the right word, but it's certainly very poignant. It's very powerful. It's very much, you know, now we're here, and it became so acutely clear that in the bodies that we saw, that people who had been, I think some of them had been breathing and walking and probably talking a year ago. Some of them had died a little bit longer, maybe 2-3 years ago. And you know, what a different experience is to experience a body that has no aliveness in it, that's not going to experience. I touched some of the bodies gently. Didn't want to hurt them. touch them. I didn't want to be disrespectful. That's more honest. Touch them gently. But you know, including some of their organs were open and there, and the anatomist would take the organs out of the body and talk about them and show them how they work. And there was one gentleman who had a pacemaker, and that was fascinating to kind of see all the, you know, remnants of the pacemaker in the heart and different things. But you know, we were touching and looking and talking, and that body was not hearing or feeling or experiencing or thinking about what we were doing. And this world of what we are experiences, you know, that we can so easily take for granted, because it's what we've been doing for our lifetime is sensing and feeling and thinking and things like that. But it's, you know, every single way in which we experience ourselves, we know ourselves, is only known because we're alive, one way or the other. And what is it to be alive? What is that aliveness that comes through our sensations and through the experience of our sensations? What is the sense of aliveness, vitality, animation that comes through when we have feelings and emotions, regardless of what they are? Is there some way of relating to these things, all these things, not so much by the content or the meaning of them or our preferences of them, but to relate to them as simply as the aliveness that's coursing through us, that whatever aliveness is, the anatomist talked about the electrical system of the human body. You know, we create our own electricity, and you know, in order to make this whole thing work. And you know, when that electrical system goes, then there's no more experiencing. And as I was kind of spent yesterday kind of reflecting on living with this, it kind of brought me very acutely into my lived experience of the day. And I could feel so well how much that lived experience of body sensations and moods, emotions, and thoughts, really there was a freedom there. There was a way in which they were all free of my preferences, free of my desires and aversions. And there's a way in which they just come. And there's a way in which I overlay projections, I overlay ideas, I weave them together with stories and images and stories of the past and the future, and I weave them together with identity and who I am and how I'm seen and all kinds of things that are, but in and of themselves, simplicity of that experience is really, doesn't have all those overlays of projections and ideas. It's just sensations. When I was sitting with feeling my hand in the exercise, I don't know if you could feel it, but I could feel a very gentle breeze against my hand, a little coolness. That little coolness, the breeze was, you know, there's no self in that sensation of breeze, the tingling and the coolness. I can't say that that's Gil. I'm not making it. I'm not preferring it or dispreferring it. It's just there, free of me. It's a part of me, the sensations of the coolness, but it's free of me. All the sensations in my hand are there. They're part of me, but they're also free of me at the same time. All the emotions and feelings you have are part of you, but there's a way of seeing them. They're also free of you. And maybe you're free of them. And all the thoughts you have, there's a way of seeing them that, yes, they're part of you, maybe, but they're also free of you. And that's what I wanted to highlight today, was this idea of how all these things, all the things which are the symptoms, the manifestation of our aliveness, can be experienced as being free of us, as being free of our desires and preferences. There's actually freedom in hearing a sound. It's available there. There's freedom in having a sensation of a body, even a painful one. I've had painful body sensations lately. And so it was kind of interesting to kind of just let them be there and experience their freedom, as opposed to experiencing not really the sensations, but experiencing my preferences, my concerns, my ideas, my projections into the future. You know, you can get a very complicated world, right, very quickly. But just the sensations by themselves, that's a manifestation of the aliveness. And the knowing that is part of that aliveness. Where's the freedom there? And then to kind of look out into the world and see the world through the lens of, not through the lens of me, myself, and mine, what I want, what I'm trying to do, what's in it for me. But what about seeing in the world with the same kind of freedom? That all the things we see are also, in a certain way, free of us, free of ourselves. Maybe they're part of us, like everyone's part of us. At the same time, we're free, and they're free. And what is that way of experiencing something as being free? What is freedom? What is it to dwell in this world where we're not entangled or caught up or contracted or enslaved or obligated or compulsed to be a certain way? What is this kind of way of just letting it be there, like the sensations in your hand? What is it to go into your body and experience this aliveness and freedom, and then to come out with a feeling or understanding of what freedom is? How quickly will you give up your freedom? Or to make it a little bit more palpable to you or understandable to some of you, what is it to go into your meditation and get calm, and then come out of it calm, and then how quickly do you give up your calm? Why do you do that? You know, have you ever thought about why you give it up? The world made me. I had really important obligations and responsibilities, and if I stayed too calm, people wouldn't think that I cared. I have to show that I'm engaged and doing things. So it's one thing to do that exercise with calm, but what about freedom? To what degree do we discover freedom when we go in to the body? What is it to go in, settle into the body, experience the aliveness, the presence, the immediacy of life now? I mean, boy, to be alive, I hope you think it's special that you get this short little blink of time in the scale of, you know, cosmic time. It's possible this is the only little blink you have to know what, you know, to experience the gift of life, of aliveness. And what is it? Are we too busy surfing the web to really kind of be in awe, to be amazed, or more importantly, to live in this lived experience and be free? And freedom is, I think, one of the most respectful things we can do for the gift of life. Because freedom is kind of getting out of the way and allowing who we are, allowing our aliveness to be unimpeded. To allow our view of the world to be unimpeded and let the specialness of that experience of seeing the world, hearing the world. We say there's a world out there that we see. But, you know, this body that you have, when you die, these eyes are not going to see the world out there. You see the world out there because, those of you who have eyesight, because you have eyesight. And eyesight is a part of the aliveness of the moment. What is it to appreciate your contribution to seeing the world, your aliveness, the spark of something that's here? And what is it to look out across the world and see it in a way that's free, to be free? So that was my contemplation, spending this time with the cadavers. These very generous people. We were introduced to them before we went to see them, as these are people who, through their generosity, had chosen to give their bodies for the purposes of education. And people who were being trained to care for people medically were being trained through those bodies, and everyone benefits from that kind of system. And then on top of it, I don't know what you think of hearing that I spend time with cadavers. It's what you think of that. Part of the context was that the person who, the anatomist who took us through, was full of a kind of a contagious joy and love and care for us, the cadavers, for life itself. It was just kind of like half the reason to go to the lab was to be with her. And imagine, you know, spending 20 years in an anatomy lab with cadavers and coming out of that just filled, brimming with joy and smiles and love. And it's quite something. Maybe there's something about that contact with death that highlights something precious, highlights freedom, highlights some kind of contact of life that's not caught up in our dramas and our petty concerns or desires or all the different things that, you know, we get caught in and get narrowed down and limit us. So I'll end this talk with a question that maybe you'll ask yourself through this next week. It'd be very satisfying if you asked yourself, for me, if you asked this question of yourself a lot, which is, what is it to be free right now? Where's the freedom now with this? Wherever you go, where's the freedom now? And I'd like to suggest that part of that answer is found, or maybe all the answer is found, in your aliveness. And how you experience your aliveness in the present moment, right here, right now. And that, and to experience that freedom, I'm pretty confident that you'll be a better world and better person in this world. You'll be here to support the world. You'll be able to take care of the world much better. So we engage in the world through one perspective, one way. We participate in the world one way. And then through Buddhist practice, we go into the body. We settle in body, experience the body, so that we can come out to participate in a new way. And what is it to participate in the world free, in the free way? That's the question. And that's the topic. That was the talk. So I think we have quite a bit of time before that 10:45 time. I think that I would like to assume, it's probably safer to assume, that to do this exercise and have me talk this way and evoke your aliveness and endeavors is kind of a big deal for some of you. And that a wonderful way to integrate that or to kind of work through it a little bit is to actually talk to someone else briefly about just something about how what it's like for you to have been here today and experience this. And maybe that'll free you a little bit also of the talk. And so if you don't mind, you know, turning to someone and just checking in, saying hello and saying something. And it doesn't have to be something very private or difficult. Just something, and then continue if you want, or we can go.